day.
A blessed Sunday morning to each one of you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to come into your homes and maybe your cars as you listen to this broadcast. This is brought to us through the kind compliments of Federal Motor Spirits and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. I'd like to share an announcement this morning. On Sunday the 15th of January, the quarterly service or the family service of the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District will be held at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene at 10 a.m. All are invited to come and share with us. We are trusting God for a mighty move of His Spirit in the very first service that we are going to be having of this nature for the year 2023. I'd like to read a passage of scripture for us this morning, which is recorded in St. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Amen. This is God's word. Shall we pray? Eternal God and our Father, we bless your name this morning. We give you thanks for this privilege. Thank you for your watchful care over us. Lord, we present ourselves before you this morning, and we ask, Lord, that you would do a special work in our lives. We pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts through your word this morning, and may every life that is in tune with this broadcast be touched in a special way. We ask, Lord, that for those who are going through difficult seasons in their lives, Lord, that they would feel your presence in a very real way. Thank you, Lord, for all that you will accomplish in our lives as we seek your face today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with thankfulness. Amen and amen. In Barbados, this year is a year when the focus will be on youth. In the Church of the Nazarene, our theme will be focused on God will restore. This passage of scripture is a reminder to us that God places a premium on children. I say that because one of the key factors in this passage is this lad. Jesus has a very special place in his heart for children. When you look at both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you would see what a significant place children played. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the focus is on Samuel. Now, Samuel was a boy who was prayed for by his mother Hannah. And when he came, she had promised God that she would give him back to him so that he could be used in his service. Samuel grew up in an environment where Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, pretty much did what they wanted to do. But even in the midst of a situation you can call a cesspit situation, God preserved the life of Samuel and he raised him up to be a mighty man of God. Another youngster in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 3 speaks to us about Josiah. Now Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. His father was as wicked as had the Jewish kings and culture for generations before him. In the 8th year of his reign, scripture records that he began to seek the Lord. In his seeking, he set about restoring the house of the Lord. In this setting that we have before us, the passage that I read, there's a large crowd. There's no shops in close proximity. And Jesus is moved by compassion when he sees the crowd. I would like to say to us that God always has someone who is available. And we are looking at the one who is the facilitator. His name is Andrew. Andrew is known as the introducer. In fact, Andrew was the person who introduced his brother, Simon Peter, to the Lord. And here it is, in the midst of this crowded situation, Andrew identifies this youngster. He calls him a lad. He says, there is a lad here. And he's saying that against the background when they are wondering what it would take to feed this multitude. We see here this lad, which is quite unusual because many children are not willing to part company with their lunch. But this was not the case with this lad. He was willing to give up his lunch to Andrew, who in turn gave it to Jesus. What was his lunch? 5 barley loaves and a few small fish. Barley was always regarded as a simple food, more often fit for animals than for people. This means it is likely that the young boy came from a very poor family. In the Talmud, there is a passage where one man said, there is a fine crop of barley. And another man answered, tell it to the horses and donkeys. You see, barley scarcely bore 1/3 of the value of wheat in the East. And if you look at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6, it gives us a picture there that it was very mean face appears from Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 19, where it says, you have profaned me among my people for a few handful of barley and scraps of bread. By lying to my people who listen to lies, you have killed those who should not have died and spared those who should not live. So, you get an understanding of how barley was regarded. But then you have not only the barley loaves, but you have these two small fish. These were eaten as a relish along with the cakes of barley in those days. It is something like what we would call a bread and two in our own day. But the question was asked, what are there among so many? There wasn't much to work with. But God doesn't need much when he is at work. In fact, God does not need any help, but he often deliberately restrains his work until he has our participation. Small things are not always contemptible. It all depends on the hands in which they are. Jesus, in this passage, commands the people to sit. It is almost as if Jesus is the caterer. There's a job to be done. His work is always orderly. Hence, he is saying, have the men sit. Have the men sit. He is a loving shepherd. In fact, when you look at Psalm 23 and verses 5 and 6, it paints a picture of how God is. Those who listen to Jesus will always be full. The order of business, you sit, he gives thanks, and the rest will take care of itself. I believe that sometimes we miss the mark when we are not prepared to sit. The picture is given to us when Jesus was at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Whereas Martha was very concerned with preparing maybe a snack or so for Jesus, but Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, you're able to learn so much. One must be open to listening to the voice of God. And I believe that in this day and age that we're living in now, we must take some time to listen and to hear what God is saying to us. The disciples pictures a contrast. The contrast is this youngster who brought what he had. I guess they had more resources than the boy, but they knew they didn't have enough, so they didn't give anything. The boy gave what little he had, and it made all the difference. I guess one can ask this question. What do you have to give to Jesus? What are you prepared to give to Jesus? Is he asking you to give something? And is there a hesitancy on your part? I think that one of the greatest things that we can give to the Lord Jesus is our lives. Because if we are prepared to give our lives to him, he has the power to transform and to use us to bring glory and honor to his name. That is what he's asking of us. You see, by surrendering our lives to him, we can be used as instruments of God's grace and his power. Think of it. Every time you take this passage of scripture, the actions of this boy will always be made mention of. Why? Because he was willing to give what he had. And there's no difference with us. Whatever we present to God, he's able to use for his glory. If we offer nothing to God, he will have nothing to use. But he can take what little we have and turn it into something that is great. In performing this miracle, we can see that Jesus prefers to work through people. He was prepared to use what this young boy presented to him so that thousands could have been fed. They did not have to leave that gathering hungry, because he made sure that they not only receive spiritual food, but they also receive natural food. Christ is interested in us in every way. When you think of it, St. John's Gospel chapter 4 records an incident. He is by Jacob's well. He encounters a Samaritan woman. The circumstances that led to that woman drawing water from the well at midday is not spelled out in the word. But remember, Jesus said to his disciple, "I must needs go through Samaria." You see, the omniscient God, the God who knows all things, the God who is all-powerful, the God who is ever-present, there was an appointment that was lined up with this woman. And whereas the disciples went on another mission as they were sent by Jesus, Jesus encountered this woman by himself, and he engaged her in a conversation that was transformational. For he struck up the conversation with her by simply asking her for a drink of water. Because of the historical background, she was willing to say, "How it is that you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink? That isn't normal." And then Jesus proceeded to say to her, "If you ask me for a drink, I will give you water, not just water, but living water. Because the water that I will give will spring up into everlasting life." When Jesus said that to her, it prompted her to become transparent to him. And he, knowing her condition, said to her, "Well, go and call your husband." But she admitted that she didn't have a husband. And in truth, in fact, she didn't. You see, because there were several men who were in her life. But she's encountering now a man among men who was so different. The conclusion of this encounter was that having really encountering Jesus and hearing and receiving that which he had spoken to her led her to the point where she went back into the city and she was willing to say, "Come and see a man who have told me all things." Isn't he the Christ? You see, persons might want to think that this is a chance encounter, but there are no chance encounters with Christ. It is always deliberate because of who he is and what he is able to do when there is an individual who is willing to trust him. Just as this youngster was willing to give his lunch to Jesus, those of you who are listening and who have never trusted in Christ, you have the opportunity of surrendering your life to him. You will never be the same if you surrender your life to him. He makes the difference in every life. That is why the scripture says of God that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he's done in the past, he's able to do even now. But it calls for submission. It calls for a commitment. And I wonder somehow if you're willing to say, "Jesus, come into my life this morning. I accept that I am a sinner. I need your gift of salvation. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to tell you, based on the authority of God's word, which says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is this your prayer this morning? Are you willing to say, Lord, I do not know what this year holds for me. I do not know what this day holds for me. But Lord, I am going to trust you. I promise you that He will make the difference in your life. Father, this morning, thank you for your word. Thank you for your willingness to accept us when we come to you. We commit ourselves to you. And we ask, Lord, that for the believers, just as you have saved us, help us to serve not only you, but to serve our fellow men. And for those who are starting a journey of a life with you, God, I pray that you would walk with every soul and you would hold them in the center of your will. It is in your name we pray these things with thankfulness. Amen and amen. There's a song that is done by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and it is based on Psalm 34. And as we make our way from this program this morning, we shall do so with that music playing in our hearts and giving us the inspiration that we need as we go through this day. God bless you. And thank you for listening. Amen.
I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on Him are radiant, they'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds His saints. He will deliver them.
Magnify the Lord. that the Lord is good. He'll keep you ever.